So as Oz said, we're on our series finale of the Steps of Faith series. I don't know about you, I've really enjoyed this series. I was going to start this morning by going through each week and each character and seeing if each of you could remember sort of the main point or the challenges. I thought that might take a little bit of time and Oz would look bad as he answered every single one. So I'm not doing that. So we're looking at Mary this morning, coming up to it. And I want to start with this instead. What have you been anticipating change in your life? When have you been anticipating change? We don't get told a lot about Mary. The only thing that we really get told about her is that she's betrothed to Joseph. She's waiting to marry him. She's expecting change. And then she's told that she's pregnant and expecting a baby. And we've just been through a similar experience. You get told sort of fairly early on in pregnancy the due date of when your baby's going to arrive. For us, it was the 14th of November. And you sort of really set your mind on this date for 9 months, thinking that's the date. You focus everything towards it. You get excited about it. First child, you also get nervous about it. What's it going to do? How much is it going to turn my life upside down? I can tell you it's a lot. And that's with a baby that sleeps well. And you just set your mind on this date, that everything's going to change on that date. Unfortunately, babies don't always seem to get that memo. They don't quite put it into their diary to know that that's the date they're going to arrive. So you set your mind over these 9 months on this date that the baby's going to come, and then he doesn't. And there's almost that slight anti-climax. You're like, oh, why is he not here? I've cleared my diary for when you arrive. You know, there's an essay coming up and a sermon coming up that's a good 4 weeks after his due date. That's fine. You know, by that stage, I'll be back to feeling like a human again. And then he doesn't come, and he doesn't come, and things are getting closer. And that space that you've cleared in the anticipation suddenly gets eaten into. And then you find yourself, he arrives, and you've got an essay and a sermon to prepare. And somehow they've been done. So what have you been anticipating in your life? I think that sets us up a little bit with where Mary's at. She's anticipating this big change. She's anticipating being married. Possibly in her culture, it's a little bit different. They don't have the excitement possibly that we had. It was almost the next stage of life for Mary. Just to finish this off, I thought I'd get in with the cheeky picture. We thought we'd embarrass him early. You know, this is one for the 18th, I think. He's a bit cuter if you want to see him in real life. So here's Mary. She's waiting to be married. The move in her time from being a girl to a woman, essentially. That it's the next step that she'd take, the next socially expected change. But then let's read these first verses and see a bit more of the story. So it's Luke 1. We're starting at verse 26 here, if you want to turn to it. So Luke 1:26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word of God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. I wonder how you would feel if you had an angel suddenly appear in front of you. What would your response be? It's not something that we really consider being something that would happen to us these days, just to suddenly have this angel appear. Well, I think I would be a little bit more panicked than Mary seems to appear here. So he says that she's greatly troubled, but she just sort of says, you know, what's going on? Why? What is this greeting? She seems to just be troubled by this greeting. And as the angel goes on to talk to her about this pregnancy, she still seems to take it quite calmly. I just find her responses quite remarkable, that Mary seems to have this readiness to be used in her mind. I mean, this news of a baby would totally change, turn her world upside down. For her, she wasn't married yet. It would have been totally socially unacceptable for her to have a baby outside of wedlock. It would have put her totally sort of as a social outcast. People would have rejected her. She must have had so many questions. But what is it that Mary asks the angel? Well, the first thing she says is, how will this be since I am a virgin? Again, I don't know about you. If you had an angel appear to you like this, is this the question that you would be asking? I don't think it'd be my question. What are you? Who are you? Where have you come from? What's going on? This can't be. This isn't normal, would be my reaction. I don't think it'd just be a simple, how will this be? A real readiness to accept what the angel is going to say. She must have been thinking, will Joseph still marry me? Will he think that I've been unfaithful to this pledge that I have with him? Will I be socially rejected? What will my family say? You know, Esther and I were married. We chose to have a baby. And yet we were still a little bit nervous about what our family were going to say. I'm always nervous about what my parents are going to say. Anyone else have that? You know, big life decision. You tell your parents, what's the reaction going to be? Luckily, it was good. But this is the one question she asks. And it's such a simple, practical question. How can it be? It's not what, not why me. It's just a how. How can this be? I certainly would have been asking a lot more. But look at the angel's answer. When you read the angel's answer as well, the angel just says, well, the Lord is going to come upon you. And I think that answer that she has there from the angel about how it's going to happen takes a lot of faith to accept that. For an angel to say, oh, don't worry, the Holy Spirit's just going to come on you. It's going to plant a baby inside you. It's going to grow. It's going to be God's son. It's all fine. Don't worry. Holy Spirit's got it. I would be quite, really? I think I would struggle to trust that. I would struggle to see that that's going to happen. But Mary just accepts it. And then what's her next response after being told that it's going to be through the power of the Holy Spirit? She simply says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. That's astounding, isn't it? That her response to this life-changing promise to her is simply to say, I am the Lord's servant. Does that not just hit you with an impact that somebody can respond in that way? I don't know about you, but if you have a promise, if you feel that God is calling you to do something, maybe as we've been through this series, you really feel that God is challenging you to take a step of faith for him. Would you say the same? Would you give the same response as Mary? Are you willing to say to God that same astounding statement of, I am the Lord's servant? Are you willing and ready to act in that way? I can certainly say in my life there's times where I don't want to respond like that. I don't always want to say, yeah, I will do. Sometimes it's far more comfortable to stay where we are. It's a lot easier to stay where we are. But if God is calling you to do something, if he's asking you to do something, then are you willing to say, I am the Lord's servant? It's a big challenge, I think. That's one that really needs to sink in. I think if you can take one thing away from this morning, it's probably a danger saying this now because you'll all switch off. But if you can take one thing away from this morning, I want it to be that question. Will you say to God, I am your servant? And let's go on to look at a bit further. I'm sorry, another point there. If God is calling you to do something, then you can trust that he will equip you to do it. I think sometimes that's the fear that holds us back, isn't it? That we think, it's all very well saying I'm the Lord's servant, but I'm not strong enough. I'm not ready to do it. I can't do it in my strength. But I can assure you that if God is calling you to do something, if he's wanting you to serve him in a particular way, he will equip you to do what he's asking you to do. Let's read. There's a bit further on in Luke 1. We're skipping to verse 46. And here's Mary's song. So Let's read Luke 1:46. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." So we've seen that Mary is ready to respond. And I think we can see three things from this song that Mary goes on to give. And it's that Mary recognizes who God is. And her recognition of who God is leads her to three things. The first is that her response is to praise God. Because she understands who God is, it leads her to praise him. We see in that song that she uses the word, he glorifies his name. She rejoices because of what he's done. Mary, instead of seeing this thing as, I'm great, I'm being used, I've been chosen, she immediately turns back to God and praises him for using her, for recognizing her as a humble servant, and to use her to bring his one and only son into the world. So her response is to praise God. She acknowledges his mercy in that song as well. She acknowledges that he recognizes her weakness. He recognizes her state. And that through that, he gives her the strength to go through this pregnancy and to go through it. She recognizes and acknowledges his mercy. And third, she remembers what he's done. I think for Mary, this must be an incredible comfort to see, looking back to remember what God has done, such that she can look forward through this promise. She can look forward knowing that he will continue to be a faithful God to her. You know, in that song, she refers back to the mighty deeds that he's performed. She refers back to the fact that he's brought down rulers and that he's filled and fed the hungry. She remembers what God has done in the past, which gives her confidence that he will still act and be there in the present and in the future. I think quite often it's quite easy here, isn't it, to maybe write Mary off a little bit, to say, well, it's all right, you had an angel appear right next to you who told you these wonderful things, that it's fine for you. You're getting to bear God's own son. It must be easy. But I think we need to remember here that Mary doesn't get told the whole plan. Because she knew who God was, she's willing to be his servant, but she doesn't get told the whole plan. And I think that's true for us, isn't it? We see later on that it goes on to say that she ponders the prophecies in her heart when the kings appear to her. That she doesn't quite understand it. All the angel has said to her is that she will bear a son, and that the son will be the son of the Most High. She doesn't understand how he's going to be the Saviour. She doesn't understand at what point he's going to be the Saviour even. She's pondering these things in her heart. And we too at times might not get told the whole picture. We may be thinking, why is God calling me to do this? Why is God asking me to do this thing? I don't understand how that fits in. All we can say is that God knows exactly how he's going to use it. And you've got to trust, like Mary, that he's going to use it for his purposes, which are the best purposes. So because Mary knew who God was, she was willing and ready to be his servant. And it said there at the end of the promise that nothing ever fails with God. Mary knew who God was. She believed that promise that nothing fails. I want to ask you the question, do you know who God is? Do you know that he's the faithful God that the Bible tells us that he is? Do you know that he's a God who loves each and every one of us so much that he was willing to bring this son, Jesus, into the world to die on a cross for us? That Christmas is the start of a celebration of life because Jesus came. Because Mary understood who God was, she was willing to be his servant. I'll ask you this one, do you really know who God is? If not, then find out. Don't rest until you can answer that question with a yes. Know who God is. And possibly, what's holding you back from being his willing servant? What is it possibly, as we've been through this series, that you possibly feel God is saying to you, do this, I want you to just step out for me in this way. But what is it that's holding you back from doing it? Is it fear? Fear of the unknown? You don't quite know where it's going to lead, where it's going to take you? Is it fear of what people might think of you? That to do it is going to cause you to live in such a way that's different from people around you, from the world around you, that it's going to cause you hardship. It's going to possibly cause you real trouble. Well, God's calling you to do it. So I think you need to take that step. Don't be held back by it. Do you feel like you're getting so close each time to maybe that you feel like you have to perfect yourself before God can use you? And you take that step closer and closer to feeling ready. And then something comes along and wipes you away again. And you go back to square one. But that wasn't Mary's response either. She doesn't say, hang on a minute, I need to get married first because that's a social convention. If you could just hold off for a few months until I'm married and then it'll all be fine. She immediately just says, I am your servant. Or maybe it's doubt. Maybe you're thinking, I'm hearing God, I feel like God's saying something to me, but I just don't quite know that it is God. What if it's just me? Well, then take that and test it with someone else. Speak to someone about it. Pray about it. Read your Bible. See if it's in line with what God says to us there. Seek the counsel of wiser people around you. It's why we're called to live in community as Christians. It's something that, again, we've been through in terms of this training. I felt that God was saying to me that he wanted to call me into full-time ministry. And through conversations with Oz, with Eric, with a pastor at our church back in Bath, through being given opportunities to preach and to test that, we've seen God leading us and guiding us towards that position. And we can continue to trust that he will lead and guide us. Or maybe it is just the fear of the world that's holding you back, that you're so attracted by all the things in the world around you. You think actually to live out that way will be to have to reject the things that I enjoy about the world. The money, the success. Maybe it'd cause you to take a backward step in your career, and that for you will be something that's too hard. All I can say is that if God is calling you to do it, then it will be far greater if you do it. Someone shared a picture with me a little while ago, and it's something that's really challenged me and struck me a lot, and I've thought back to it many times since. And it's this picture where essentially God has got a giant mansion. It's beautiful inside. It's luxurious. It's amazing. And you've knocked on the door. You've understood who God is. You've responded to him. You've knocked on the door to start that step of faith, that journey of faith with him. But you're now still just stood on the porch gazing in. That you're in the little porch area, so you're undercover. You're saved. You've got your faith in God. But instead of enjoying the luxury of the mansion, of enjoying all the different rooms, the vastness, the greatness of it, of living in his blessing, you're stood there in the porch, confined in a small area. Maybe you just need to take that step over the threshold in what God is calling you to do, in what God is asking you to do, to live out what he's asked you to do, to step into that place of greater blessing. Because if God is calling you to do it, then he will bless you through it. You will, in taking that step, in being his servant, he will bless you greatly. Or maybe you're sat here this morning and you're thinking, it's all very well what you're saying, but I just haven't heard anything. I've sat here through all of these series, these sermons. They've been great until this last one. I've been great until now. But I haven't really had a challenge. I don't know. God's not saying anything to me. I've asked him, but I haven't heard anything back. But I'd encourage you to go back and listen to Oz's sermon from last week, where he really challenged us from the story of... anyone? My mind's gone blank. The story of Samuel. Roger had it as well. There we go. It would have been you two battling it out, wouldn't it, if I'd done a whole series list. The story of Samuel, where Samuel simply says to God, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is ready to listen." Maybe you need to do that. Maybe you need to say to God, "Speak, Lord." Because God, as Oz reminded us, is a speaking God. So maybe that's your step of faith this morning, is to ask God to speak. I've lost where I am on my PowerPoint now. Oh, I've been through all this bit. I just want to share these verses with you from Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9. Because this is, I think, particularly applicable if you are in that place of saying, "I haven't heard God speak. He's not saying anything to me." Well, God is a speaking God. And Psalm 32, 8 and 9 says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you." I think those verses are really encouragement that God will instruct you. He will teach you in the way you should go. Therefore, he will be giving you the next step that you need to take. He will be calling you to do something in your life. He will be calling you to be a servant of him. Maybe there's a final category this morning as well that I just want to touch on. And maybe that it's you're sat here this morning, you're thinking, actually, I can't answer that question of who is God. Do you know who God is? Maybe you're saying this morning, no, I don't know who he is. I don't understand who he is. All of this sounds just like a load of garbage to me. I don't know who God is, let alone know what step of faith he's calling me to take. Well, maybe this morning then, if you understand a little bit more about who God is through this, as you look at this Christmas period and hear the beginning of the story of God sending his son into this world through Mary with the sole purpose of coming to die on a cross to bring us back into a right relationship with him, to then be raised from the death, to conquer death, to remove death's sting. That's what the Christmas story is the beginning of. And maybe your step of faith this morning is for the very first time to say like Mary, "Lord, I will be your servant," to become a child of God. That just as God sends his only son into the world, that's for the purpose of making us his children, to be adopted into his family. So if you don't know who God is, I challenge you this morning to maybe take that step of faith if you're in that place, to take that very first step and say to God, "God, I want to be your child. And I want to be your servant. Use me." We're going to move into a time of reflection on some of that now. Reflecting on where God is calling us. And maybe you need to take one of those, maybe you're in one of those places. Maybe you've been a Christian for years, and this is a real chance for you, again, to say, "Lord, I'm your servant. Use me." Maybe that's something that you need to refresh in your life, to think, how can God continue to use me as his servant? So let's just take some time to reflect on that. How can God use you as his servant? Are you willing to be his servant? Or maybe actually you need to take some time to say, "Speak, Lord, because I'm listening," to hear the challenge and the call that God is putting on your life. Or maybe it is that you want to take that first step this morning, that first step of faith, to become a child of God and to say, "I am your servant, a new servant in your family. Use me." Let me pray for us and then the band will take back over. Heavenly Father, we do just thank you that you are such an amazing God, a faithful God, a loving God. A God who sent his son into this world, who used Mary as your servant to bring about that, to put that baby into her, that baby that was going to come to be the saviour of the world. And Father, just as Mary didn't understand how he is going to be the saviour, I just pray for anyone here who doesn't understand how he is their saviour. I pray that you'll work in their heart, work in their mind. Let them have conversations with people here that can take them along that journey, can speak into their lives. We do just praise you for that Saviour that is Jesus. We thank you that you're not a silent God. You are a God who speaks, a God who calls us and gives us tasks to do in your service. I pray for each of us here this morning that we, like Mary, will be ready to respond to that calling, that we will say with such readiness as Mary did, I am your servant, Lord. May we be used by you for your glory, for your praise. In your name I pray. Amen.